Did you write to Victoria Police a short time ago? Did you say words to the following effect? In late January 1996, I was contacted by Victoria Police and asked to attend an appointment with Detective Senior Constable Rose Eden and Detective Sergeant Glenn Turnley. You write that it was about 9 o'clock on the 1st of February 1996. You went to the WA Police Criminal Investigation Branch. You were questioned by Turnley and Eden, and you recall making a statement in writing to Eden and Turnley. Is that all true?
Yeah, that's correct, and I have a clear recollection of that interview with them, and I have a clear recollection of parts of that interview, and I know, and I was advised to take a friend of mine with me, and I took a friend of mine, and he won't mind me mentioning his name, a bloke by the name of Jimmy Bork, who was an army mate of mine. Along to the interview, I was advised to take someone with me to witness it, not go on my own. And then I wrote to the Victorian, and I never received a copy of or record of interview of that interview. So I sent an email to the Victorian Police Detective Sergeant Ross Mitchell a few weeks ago now, requesting that he supply me with a copy of that record of interview. With all the relevant details that you just alluded to before, so make it easy for him to find it. And I received an email back from Ms. Mitchell, which absolutely astounding. The Fraud Squad are losing records of interview? How can the Fraud Squad, who's supposed to be investigating people, lose documents, and that not documents they've seized from anywhere, but a record of interview by their own department by two detectives that flew to Perth to interview me. How can they have lost that is absolutely outstanding. I've not responded to Ross Mitchell's interview where he said it can't be located, it can't be found yet, because I'm lost for words. I just don't know how to respond, other than say to him, the bloody hell's going on, Ross, how come you're losing documents?
You've sent me his notice in response to your question.
I don't know what to say.
I am unable to provide you with the statement you made in 1996, as we were unable to locate it. Wow. But you're certain that you made, or that there was some record made of the conversation that you had with these two Victoria Police?
Oh, yeah, it was recorded.
Recorded how,
yeah.
Audio?
Was that a recorder? Yeah, audio, yeah. An office with an audio recording. They sat there and they had a machine on the side there with a tape in it, and they pushed a button and started recording, and that was it.
And do you recall the matters that you were questioned about?
Well, yeah, some of them, yeah. They were in relation to Carl Wilson's dealings in Victoria, and at one point there, they were about to ask questions about the ownership of the Kerr Street property. And the male detective, I've forgotten his name now, asked me a question. And then he had me cold. I was answering honestly to him all the questions they were asking. I was answering as honestly as I could, and he had me dead to rights on this particular question. I think he asked me if I was the owner. And then the female detective, before I got a chance to reply to him, she interrupted with another question. And it was a totally different line of questioning that she threw at me. And I ignored his question and answered her. And he gave her a look that was like the look of death. Why did you, And they never got back to that question. And I walked out of that interview with more knowledge about what they knew about what was going on than I gave them. That's the way I felt at the end of the day. I answered their questions honestly. But I left there with more information about what they knew about the AWU Workplace Reform Association than I gave them. I was comfortable with the interview, but what surprises me now is, where is it?
Well, hang on a second. This is January. This is January of 1996. The AWU didn't become aware of the Workplace Reform Association until April of 1996. And you think you were questioned about the Workplace Reform Association?
I was. Well, I was questioned about the ownership of the Kerr Street property.
Right.
not necessarily the workplace reform association.
Gotcha. Yep, gotcha.
But they were going down the path of asking me questions about the cursory property, which in my mind relates to workplace reform. But they didn't mention workplace reform as such. They were questioning me about Wilson and I, and accounts that Wilson had in Victoria and what I knew about them. And then they moved to the mail detective moved to the part where he said they start to talk about the ownership of the Kerr Street property. So obviously they were aware of that property being owned by me or Wilson or whatever, and they wanted to know from me what I knew about it. But then the questions didn't get back to that because she interrupted him. So I never had to answer that question about ownership. I distinctly remember that because I laughed myself after I walked out.
I can't imagine a circumstance in which an offender is not entitled to a copy of a statement that he's made or a record of interview conducted by the police. Now, Ross says that he says we are unable to locate a copy. I'll choose my words carefully here until I get right into a formal review of the FOI material obtained from Victoria Police in relation to this investigation. But I have in front of me a couple of snippets from that FOI material, and it strongly suggests that there is on the file statement material in relation to the discussion that you had or the interview that you had with Victoria Police. That's extraordinary that you'd be told they're unable to locate it.
It's not a figment of my imagination.
No, I'd agree with that too. The material is pretty pretty clear that you were pulled in.
I know who went with, even know who went with me. Jimmy Bork went with me to the interview.
How do you spell his name? B-O-R-K?
I was advised B-L-A-K, yeah.
Bork.
B-A-U-L-K, sorry. B-A-U-L-K. Anyway, Jim was my army mate. When I was advised that I was going to be interviewed, right, I got in touch with Wilson straight away.
Yeah.
And then Wilson said, hang on, I'll sort it out for you. And he came back and said, the advice I've got is from a lawyer, and I assume, I don't know, but I would assume it would be Gillard he'd be talking to or somebody like that. The best thing you can do is take someone with you to the interview. Do not go on your own. Take a friend or a lawyer with you. I said, well, I haven't got a lawyer, so I'll take a friend. And Jimmy Bork at the time, him and I were dealing with my Department of Veterans Affairs TPI thing, so I said to Jim, would you mind coming along? And Jim said, no worries, Ralph.
Ralph, in January of 1996, do you believe that Wilson was still in discussion with Gillard?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Why do you say no doubt? Why do you have no doubt?
Because I was present when he called her on a couple of occasions.
So when she says things like I took steps to end the relationship, those steps in your mind...
Well, in the relationship in a physical manner, yeah, but that doesn't mean that they still weren't talking to each other.
All right, mate, I'll publish something on this.
Well, can I just make this comment? Can I just make this comment about that? I took steps to end the relationship. Yeah, okay. So you can say that, right? But they both had a vested interest in dialogue between the two of them, given what was going on. So there's no way they weren't talking to each other, and I know for a fact that they were because I was present. One occasion I can recall at Rumbarella's restaurant where he was talking to her, and I said, who was that? And he told me it was Gillard.
Mate, Kerr Street was being sold at that time too, and a lawyer acted ostensibly for you in the sale and received the check, the proceeds check as well. We'll call it quits there for now, Ralph. Thanks for talking to me.
See you later, Michael.